Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 107, verse 20. No. I'll start at verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. How many of y'all know we need a little mercy every now and then? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Boy, I see y'all ready to go, boy. Y'all don't even want me to read. Pastor Barlow, how you doing? How's things in South Carolina? Praise God. Awesome. Amen. It's one of our members, one of the spiritual kids there. It says in verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Isn't that powerful? Amen. He sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Isn't that something? Over in the Old Testament, over in 2 Kings chapter 5, there was a man who was a leper and his name was Naaman. But he was a great warrior, he was a leader of the armies, very distinguished man, but he had a problem, he had leprosy. And it was, of course, probably spreading throughout his body. And the king had heard that there was a prophet down there in another part of the country, and for him to probably go down there and see if the prophet could help him. Because even the king, who was a heathen king, he knew the prophet had some power, meaning that there was an anointing on him to do something. So he sent Naaman down there. Naaman pulled up down there and with his, you know, all his entourage. And he pulled up in at the house of the prophet and inquired of the prophet. And the prophet's servant was named Gehazi. Gehazi took the request, went back in the house, took it to the prophet. The prophet probably, you know, just put the word down a minute and said, go tell him to dip 7 times in the River Jordan. And start reading his word again. Well, what happened? Gehazi went back out there, and Gehazi said, the man of God said, go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. And Naaman said, what? He said, wait a minute, hold on. Does he know who I am? No, does he know? I mean, how many men I control here? Does he know how much money I got? Do you know what my status is? Do you know that? Does he know that? Then why wouldn't he come out here and lay hands on me or do something? I mean, go through some kind of ritual. You mean he just gonna send you out here for me? He got mad about it and turned to the horse and all his men and rode away. Well, what caused him to ride away? Pride. And pride will keep a person from the mercy of God. It really will. It'll block the way to the healing anointing and power of God and things that God wants to do for you. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives what? Grace to the humble. So it's interesting. Sometimes we let ourselves get too big for ourselves. And when we're too big for ourselves, we're too big for God. And so what happened? He rode away, but there was a servant that ran along beside him. And the servant was probably running alongside him and said, well, master, if he had told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done that? And he thought about it. He said, well, yeah, I guess I would have. Well, why don't you go on dip? You know, I'm paraphrasing now. This is Winston translation. Sometimes you just got to dip. You know what I mean? Well, what was that going to entail? That was going to entail him in front of all his men. Now, he even questioned Gehazi. He said, at least he could have told me to go to the river Pharpar, see, one of those clean streams. But he sent him to the muddiest river that there was in the area. Sometimes we need to drop all of this stuff that we've been propping ourselves up with. Say amen. And be willing to get down for Jesus. Now, am I right about it? Now, I'm talking about why people many times don't get healed. And so what happened was, he went there and dipped. And you could see him now. Dip one time. Coming up out of the water. Now, I understand. Everybody's looking at him. This is a big man in town. And he dipped six times and nothing happened. But when he dipped what? The seventh time, he came up and his skin, watch this, the Bible says, was like a newborn baby. That's restoration God's way. Isn't that wonderful? Now, there's a lot of lessons to be learned out of that. But notice what God did. He sent his word and it healed him. I said, tonight we're going to send the word. You send the word. You can get here right there sitting in your chair as I'm talking. Just imagine you are in the Jordan and you've been dipped seven times. You're going to come up totally healed. Say amen to that. See, the Holy Ghost, like I told you Sunday, God doesn't have to go anywhere to be everywhere. He's in here right now. He's all over this place right now. And do you know angels are in here because they love to hear me preach. They are in here. They do. They really do. And they are in here all over this place. So there is a heaven on earth right up in here. Right here. Right here. So what am I saying? In the Old Testament, he sent his word. And it healed them. In the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 8, very interesting. There was a centurion, and he said something. He said, Jesus, he said, I need you to come to the house. My servant lieth sick, grievously tormented. Uh-huh. And Jesus said, well, I'll come and heal him.
Right.
He said, okay, and I'm put this, this is First Winston that I'm going to give you right now. He said, now, I understand that, but I've been watching you. I've been watching what you've been doing. He said, I too am a man under authority. Now, I have soldiers under me. I tell them go and they go and come to do this and they do with it. He said, Jesus said, he marveled and said, wait a minute, I haven't seen this kind of faith among saved folk.
That's right. Amen.
Come on, can I preach this here now tonight? He said to him, he said, just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Are you following what I'm saying? Just speak the word. And Jesus said, go thy way, thy servant is made whole. He went home and found his servant totally healed. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying God can do it with the word of God alone. Yes, he can. And don't, you know, one of the things about working with God with healing and miracles and so forth is don't ever get two things. One, don't ever think you can do it without God. And when I say that, I mean, you got to listen to God all the time. Jesus said, it's not me, it's the Father in me. Come on. He does the work. The Holy Ghost was working with Jesus to do what he was going to do, God's going to do in this earth. And every time it worked. Okay. And then the second thing about it, one of the first things that happened because of the fall was selfishness.
Yes.
See, how am I going to look if this doesn't work?
Yes.
Well, you're going to look the same as you looked when it did work. See, you're not the healer.
That's right.
I believe you're my healer. I'm just saying, this, get self out of it. And be, understand that you're just used as a vessel. You remember that donkey? They said that donkey who carried Jesus into the temple on that day, they were throwing Hosanna, Hosanna, and that donkey carried him in. They tell me the donkey got back to the stable that night and said, did you see all them people bowing down to me? Did y'all see that? Well, that is a donkey, ain't it? I won't call the name. But what am I saying? Get you out of it. The quicker you get you out of it, the faster it'll work. People are too wrapped up in themselves, and even in the church today. It's all about me. It's about me being seen. Now, that's why in the cameras and so forth, we try to have people to wear dark clothing and so forth. We don't want you to be seen. We want you to be invisible. See, he wants the glory. He wants all the glory. He wants all the glory. So I'm saying now, he sent his word and it healed them. So as I'm teaching today, as I'm speaking the word, I expect healing to be among God's people. I said, I expect healing to be among God's people. Is everybody with me on that? God in these last days is beautifying the church. And forces have been sitting on our destinies trying to keep us from what God has planned. And I'm telling you, some people, forces have been holding up businesses, holding up all kinds of ideas, holding up schools being built, so forth and so on, even holding up healings. But tonight I decree, whatever's been against your peace and your progress, whatever against you, been against your prosperity and your promotion, whatever's been against your business, your ministry, your family, and your health and healing, tonight will resist you no longer. It shall be stopped tonight. You will see a manifestation of God's goodness in your life tonight because the rain has come. And I said, the rain of the Holy Ghost, the rain that is in the book of Joel, the former and the latter rain together is going to wash away all the shame in your life. Anything that's trying to keep you from comfort, anything that's trying to keep you from peace is going to be washed away by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about God is beautifying the church. I'm talking about everything that's broke is going to be mended. Everything that's missing is going to be replaced. I'm saying that God is moving in with the government of the kingdom of God. He's bringing heaven to earth. He's going to manifest himself and he's going to show you off to the point that people will be attracted to the church from miles around. Anything contrary to your beauty will be done away with. God is now bringing you into the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are going to see miracles in these last days that will stagger the imagination. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Look here, just a minute. I thought about it. Psalm 105, if you'll look there with me, one page over. And it's Psalm 105 says in verse 37, he brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble one person among all their tribes. What am I saying? I'm saying that even in the days of old, there were 600,000 footmen that were with Israel the time Moses led them out of Egypt. And he led them out with 600,000 people of 20 years, men of 20 years and older. So that wasn't counting the women and the children. And I'm saying there were about 3 million people that God healed in one swoop. He just, as they were leaving Egypt, everything got healed. Every headache got healed. Every diabetes got healed. You know they had diseases. They were slaves. They weren't eating properly and nothing else. I'm here to tell you, everything got healed. It didn't matter whether one eye was blinded, the ear was deaf. It didn't matter whether they were missing hair on one side. It didn't make any difference. Everything got healed. Everything got replaced. Nothing broken. Nothing missing. He beautified them. He even hung jewels of gold and silver on them as they came out. If God will do that in the Old Testament, I got some good news for you. We are under a better covenant than you saw in the Old Testament. If he'll do it for them, hey, he'll do it for us. Let's go over to Galatians now. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Glory to God. I believe. Ah, Lord. Ha, 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 ha. Glory to God. I said, I believe. Ooh-wee. Boy, as I go on, I'm getting scriptures as I'm talking to you. Now, look what it says here in verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed, come on, is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So, I put that in there myself, that the blessing of who? Abraham might come on the who? Gentiles through who? Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing is coming and removing the curse. The curse is poverty, sickness, and death. If you look at the life of Jesus, he dealt with every one of them. Poverty, sickness, and death. Glory to God. Boy, I tell you, do y'all want to see what I got here tonight? Let's go over to 1 John, all the way over by the book of Revelation. 1 John and chapter 3, please. 1 John and chapter 3. Glory to God. Let me know when you get there. You shouldn't have to take long. He can put it on the board. You can look on the board. Praise God. Look at verse 8. He that committed sin is of the devil. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean he who sins. It means he who practices sin as a lifestyle is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this what? Purpose was the Son of God manifested that he might what? Destroy, keep going, the works of the devil. All right, now, Jesus, one of the reasons why he came in the earth is to destroy Satan's works. I said, is to destroy Satan's works. And so I put a word down here and I looked it up and I love this word. The word is annihilate. Annihilate. This word has to do with, it spells A-N-N-I-H-I-L-A-T-E. I'm telling you, I go spell it. A-N-N-I-H-I-L-A-T-E. Annihilate. It means to reduce to nothing. To destroy the existence and the evidence of. I said, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. I said, annihilate, to destroy all the evidence that the devil has been in your life. Say amen to that. I'm not talking about just healing your body. I'm talking about healing your crazy mind when you was out of your mind, out there crazy, running around at night. I'm telling you, Jesus came in, touched your mind, and next thing you know, you was acting like you had some sense for the first time in your life. Say amen to that. Yeah, he came to make you whole. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. You couldn't even think before Jesus got a hold of you. Now you can add two and two. Praise God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I'm telling you, he gets a hold of your mind and you will be able to do things that you couldn't do before. Not only that, he's going to erase some of those bad negative tapes that have been playing in your subconscious. Those things that made you make mistakes over and over and over again. He's going to take it and rewrite the script for your life. He's going to change your direction of the way that you are supposed to go, because he is God Almighty and you have been redeemed. Say, I'm redeemed. From poverty, sickness, and death. In the name of Jesus. What I mean by that is the devil can't take you out of here before you get ready. Say amen to this. I don't care. Don't look around at other folk. Other folk don't have nothing to do with the Word of God. It's the Word of God. The Word is not true because it works for you. The Word is true if it don't never work for you. I'm just saying, what you got to do is believe God. Now that's what I'm talking about. Now notice what I'm stirring up in you now. I'm stirring up some faith inside of you. Because when it comes to healing, the healing power of God is already in here. Turn with me over to Luke's gospel. And I think it's Luke chapter, if I'm right, it's chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, Luke chapter 5, that's where it is. Come on over there. Let me know when you get there. Halabashata, I feel the Holy Ghost now. Look at Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. What do you think they were sitting by waiting for, looking for? Here, looking to hear. What do you think? They were trying to catch him in his words. See, they weren't interested in the people getting healed. They came there as spectators. They wanted to catch him doing something wrong, see. But notice Jesus didn't let that bother him. Neither should you let it bother you. Look what it says, which were come out of every town in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was what? Was what now? Present to heal them. Now the power of the Lord is present in this meeting. No, you didn't get me. The power of the Lord is present here, right now. I said the power of the Lord is present right here, right now. The healing power of God, the same healing power that was at that meeting is at this meeting right now. Now, how do I know that? Because the scripture says, what, two or three are gathered together in his name? There he is in the midst of them. So his power is right here, right now, present to heal. Now, how do you get his power into your life? If you have these lights or these things in the fixtures in this auditorium, and you don't control the power but let the wires just swing down and hit things and spark and so forth, then the power is loose and it'll hurt somebody. God has a lot of power. And if it gets loose like that, it'll destroy things. But what they did with the power in this building is they routed it through lines and they put it in an outlet. So if you want to contact the power, you take a plug and you stick it in there. Once you stick it in there, power flows. And I'm saying your faith has to be stuck in there. Once you stick your faith in the Spirit of God, that power will flow into your life. Say amen to that. And faith comes one way, come on, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you've been hearing this word right now, faith has come. I said faith has come. It's coming into you right now. Now don't try to feel it, because faith is not of your head. Faith comes into your heart. Let's go over there. Romans chapter 10, please. I said Romans chapter 10. Because somebody very quickly would say, well, I don't feel anything. Hey, wait till faith works. You need to get faith to work, and you didn't even know it had come yet. Let's look at Romans chapter 10 and look at verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that you believe with your heart, not with your intellect. Your intellect doesn't have 1 ounce of faith. Faith comes into your spirit man. And as it's come into your spirit man, you release that faith through your actions. I said, you release that faith through your actions. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Say amen to that. See, it can be there with you. Lord, have mercy. Turn to Acts chapter 14. I'm just getting this as I'm talking to you. You don't mind it, do you? I said, you don't mind it, do you? No. There's nothing impossible with God. I said, nothing impossible with Him. So don't think you got something that the doctor said you can't get hold. You haven't dealt with Dr. Jesus yet. Dr. Jesus can heal you. Not only will He heal you, He'll heal you without surgery. Lord, have mercy. Now, I have nothing against doctors, but doctors don't know everything. Now, you get some spirit-filled doctors, they know some stuff that other doctors don't know. But my point to you is that, let's look at, where did I tell you to turn? Acts, okay? Look at Acts chapter 14, and it says this, glory to God. It says, verse 6, they were aware of it. Let's look at verse 7. And there they preached the what? Gospel. And there sat a certain man in Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb. This man had never what? Walked. Never. Never. Never walked. Never experienced walking. Who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak. What comes when you hear the word? Faith. Who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. Now understand, here's Paul preaching. Here's a man that never walked. He's down there probably on a mat that they have in those days. If you're going over to some of those countries, they drag themselves on this mat, or they have a roller sometimes and drag themselves. But he had never walked. And Paul, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. See, you can perceive faith. Oh, Lord, I'm perceiving some right now. Had perceived. And what did he say? Stand upright on your feet. Now, very easily, the man could have said, I never walked. No, he did. Paul grabbed him by the hand and yanked him up off the ground, and the man leaped and walked. Now, I'm saying you can believe, but you can sit down on your belief. And God wants you to act on what you believe. If you believe he's a healer, then act on your belief. And once you do, faith is released, and faith forces sickness out of your body and manifests heaven on earth in your life. All right, let's say it again. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, please. Luke chapter 17. How are we doing? We're bringing faith now so that we heal everybody. Everybody's being healed. I said everybody's being healed. Everybody's being healed. He's redeemed you. Say amen to that. The devil legally cannot hold sickness on your body. Even if you have messed up, the Bible says, is any among you sick? Then let them call for the elders of the church. Now let them anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith is going to save the sick or heal the sick. And the Lord will raise them up. And get this, if you have been in any sin, it'll be forgiven you. That's a double portion right there. Gonna get you healed and get you forgiven at the same time. Pastor, you don't know, Pastor, I really messed up. Is any among you sick? I'm telling you, it's no way you can escape it. The devil thought he had you, but I got good news for you. You have been released. Boy, I tell you, that's a healing right there. It's right over here right now. You have been released. Healing over here, bad boy. I'm telling you, I said release. Now, I know the people are not used to this. This might look a little extreme, but so does dipping in a muddy river 7 times look extreme. So does taking a stick and sticking it out over a river and making the whole ocean split look extreme. So does raising the dead look extreme. So does healing a man who has never had sight extreme. So does a man who had never walked in his life yanking him up off the ground extreme. The gospel is extreme. We are extreme, extremely healed, extremely well, extremely prosperous. We have been redeemed. Hey! I believe you're my healer. You can't feel it, but you just know something happened. You just know something happened. It's inside. You can't explain it, but you got an assurance that something happened to me. I'm not sure what happened, but I feel something happened to me. I can't feel it with my hands, but I know something happened. I can breathe better than I could breathe before. Something happened here. Luke 17, verse 11. Well, we having camp meeting in here tonight. I said we having camp meeting in here tonight. Ababa satala bahanda leke seterebe kishata. Yep. Oh, de que se te. And Hasata. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Look what it says in verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. I know how that looks, because in Africa, you drive from one city to another, and you go down this road, and you all of a sudden see lepers come out and just beg you to throw money or something out the window because they won't let them in cities. And so they're out there in the midst of nowhere crying and just begging you, just throw something out as you ride by. It's a sorrowful sight. You see, sickness never came from God. Sickness was an intrusion in on man's life because of Adam's sin. Sickness, poverty, and death came in. We were never designed to be sick. We were never designed to be poor. We were never meant to die. God created Adam originally to live forever. So look what it says in verse 13. And then they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, please have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice, he glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. You see, a lot of people, once they get healed, many times they don't tell nobody. But I'm telling you, that's what one of the things God wants to do. He wants to spread the word through you. He wants to let other people know how good he is. He fell down on his face and feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And there were not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said to him, arise, now go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Notice he didn't say God's power made you whole or I made you whole. See, the power is here right now. It's your faith that he needs to connect into this power. Your faith has made you what? Whole. Not healed. Whole. It took care of your mind. It took care of your body. It took care of everything. Now, if you will, turn to John's gospel. We're almost over. John and John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifested in him, or manifest in him. Now, what is he saying? He said, no, they didn't sin. The sin started way back in the garden. And because of that, sin passed to every man. But he said, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. In other words, sickness is not the works of God. He said, I'm about to show you the work of God. That's what people say sometimes. You know, God, you know, I'm like this because God's trying to teach me something. No, the devil's trying to kill you. And Jesus is the light of the world. He's trying to show you all the deception that the enemy is pulling in your life. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spit I said spittle there, but I'm trying to let you know this thing is serious here. Come on now. You come up to me and you need some healing. And you start hearing me. I mean, come on now. You all of a sudden your eyes get open. You trying to feel it whether you want it this bad. Now, I'm just, can I talk about the scriptures here? And so, I'm giving you the scriptures. That's all I'm giving you. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said to him, now go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed. And what happened to him? He came seeing. Now the neighbors therefore that were which were before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this that he that has sat and begged? And some said, well, it's he. Others said, well, he looked like it. But he said, I am he, praise God. And therefore they said to him, well, how are your eyes open? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Notice, he anointed him. But unless he acted on what Jesus said, nothing would happen. And he went and washed and received his sight. Then said they unto him, well, where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought him to the Pharisees. Oh, Lord. I'm just saying now, he's going to have to endure. Because you'd be surprised sometimes how the enemy has put up religious systems to try to keep the power of God from flowing into people's lives. Are you following what I'm saying? And these Pharisees got mad because this man gave Jesus the credit for healing him. And then the Pharisees, verse 34, come on down. And they answered and said to him, thou wast altogether born in sins. Because he was born blind. See, they thought because he was blind, he sinned. And dost thou teach us? And they did what to him? They put him out. Put him out of the synagogue because he got healed and gave Jesus a credit for it. Now, I'm telling you, the enemy doesn't want Jesus to get credit for anything good. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe him? And Jesus said to him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that's talking with you. And he said, Lord, what? I believe. Say, I believe.
I believe.
Say it again.
I believe.
And then he worshiped him. Turn to John chapter 5 and we'll stop there. John chapter 5. I believe you are my healer. My Lord. You're more than enough for me. Look at verse 1, chapter 5. And this, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Bethesda has to do with mercy or grace. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season and into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever first, after troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. No matter how bad it was, whatever, the first one that got it, got healed. Sound like the lottery, don't it? The first one that get it, get healed. No. See, this was a situation of mercy here that God had planned, but we're going to do it by faith. And God's going to heal everybody that wants to be healed. It doesn't make any difference who you are, because now we're in a time of grace, God. Verse 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity. How many years? No, how many years was the man sick? 38 years. And when Jesus, now do you think he had gone to the physicians during this time? Or anything? Okay, try to get healed. But when Jesus saw him, he knew that he had now been a long time in that case, and he said to him, "Will thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." And Jesus said to him, "What? Rise." Come on. "Take up your bed and walk." And how soon? Immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was what? The Sabbath day. Wow. Now, this is interesting, because the next few verses make a turn. "And the Jews therefore said to him that was cured, 'It is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for you to take care of your bed.' And he answered them, 'He that made me whole, the same said to me, take up my bed and walk.'" Now, who healed him?
Jesus.
Jesus is the son of who?
God.
Is Jesus acting under the command of his father?
Yes.
Well, if his father healed him, I don't care what day it was. Verse 11. "And he answered and said to them, 'He that made me whole, the same said to me, take up my bed and walk.' And then asked they him, 'What man is that which said unto thee, take up your bed and walk?' And he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, and the multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus finding himself in the temple and said to him, 'Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come on you.' And the man departed." Now, let's talk about that just a minute. Right now, are you living perfect? No, no, no. So you know that means something else. And I believe that that means sin no more. Don't allow this legal system and the condemnation from it to come back in your mind again and strip you of this thing. Because I'm telling you, what the enemy tries to do when you get blessed by God is try to give you some reason why you don't deserve it. And all unrighteousness is sin. No, no. They tried to talk him out of it. And I told you a time that a man got healed. He was evangelist, came to town, powerful healing ministry. The man got healed, and then his pastor heard about it, and he came over to the house. And the man answered the door. He said, "John, you're walking." He said, "I got healed, sir." And he sat down in that chair, and they talked for about an hour. And they talked and gradually sunk into unbelief. To the point that when it was time to go, the man couldn't even get up out of the chair. Sin no more. Don't listen to that ever again. Ever again. I'm saying God is a healer.
Amen.
You get healed tonight. Don't let the devil rob you of anything that God has blessed you with. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Did you get something out of this tonight? Now, let's... Um, Sebastian, you here tonight? I want you to give a testimony about how you got healed the other day. A microphone right there.
My name is Sebastian Kordatsky. About a month ago, I was driving home from work, and I fell asleep at the wheel and went into a ditch going about 55. I broke my three bones in my spine. We went to the doctor. They said I need to lay on my back for 3 months. I said, okay. 2 weeks later, we came here. My mom pressed upon us that we needed to come here. I was baptized. This gentleman laid hands on me and prayed. Through God, anything and everything can be healed. And today, I am walking. I am healed. No. 1 second. We got x-rays. My father is an emergency doctor. I am whole and I am new through the power of Jesus Christ and our God. Everyone say amen. Let me hear it louder. That's what I'm talking about.
See, he turned into a preacher. Get that quick. He's a healer. Now, Sebastian and his parents, or whoever it was, I think one of his parents, they came here and they brought him here from Indiana. But they came by faith. This is the key. They came by faith. Are you following what I'm saying? And because of their faith, they could plug into this power. See? And I think part of the ride, you had a stretcher or something like that. Didn't he have a stretcher or something? Whatever. But I'm saying, now, if you'll do it for him. Amen. Come on now. I'm talking about the grace of God. Amen. Grace says you did nothing to deserve it. But it's just the mercy of God. God loves people. And we are going to annihilate all the works of the devil. I mean, look at Sebastian. He didn't put on a suit and tie. Just got on some shorts, you know, like he came out from the beach. My point to you is, you don't need to dress it up for God. Just come as you are. And that's what I'm talking about. Religion has done so much to try to put a big wall between you and the healer. But those walls have come down. Down. Now, before we speak, and I know some things have happened already because faith has come. I said faith has come. If you're here tonight, you know in your life that you're not right with God, and God has been speaking to you during this time. I want to have an opportunity to be able to. Okay, that's all right. She's all right. What do you have to do? What are you trying to do? Touch the Bible? Is that what you're trying to do? That's all right, Usher. That's all right. I'm talking to her. What are you trying to do?
I want to know who
that book? Well, then you need to come and get in our foundation class. And you can't know more about it just by touching it. You're going to know more about it by sitting down in that chair and learning about it. And we're going to teach you. From now on, you're going to know more than anybody in your group, in your class, and everything that the enemy has put in your brain is coming out of you right now. You let her go, devil. It's coming into you right now. The anointing of God driving out everything in your brain that has had you confused. Give us some room, Usher. Sit down in your chair. It's all right. That's where we are. Tonight we're making people whole. I told you, as the word goes forth. You coming to get saved? What you coming to do?
I've been saved myself.
What you want?
My mind is sick.
Right now.
Yes.
Stand here. Devil, put your hands up in the air. You come out of that brain now. Let him go. You let him go. Come out of there. Come out of there. Come out of there. I said. Come out. Right now, come out, every one of you. Get your bags. Go, go, go. Right now, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. You loose him right now. Loose him. Come out of there. 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 You devil. Put both of them up. Heal right there. Put both of them up. Heal right there. The devil is a liar. He's given up. Right now, he's got to vacate. I said vacate. Leave God's property. Jesus died so that they can be set free. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, call his name, Jesus. We're talking about deliverance now. I said annihilate, annihilate, annihilate. To go, every demon of depression, every demon of confusion, every perverted spirit, every spirit that has passed down through your bloodline, I command you, you come out of them, you let them go. Now, I said, get out, every one of you, every one of you, every mind be made whole in Jesus' name. The blood, the blood. In his house. Let's help him up now. He's all right. Help him up now. Now, you in your right mind, you're going to have everything that the devil stole from you. That's it. You heal now. You heal. Now lift your hands up. Now say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, say it again. Say it again. That is, thank you, Jesus. It's all right. You had to have it. All right, let him go. If you're here now and you know that in your life you're not right with God, and God has spoken to you about being born again, I want you not to hesitate right now. You get up out of your chair and come up here and let me pray for you and pray for you and get you in the kingdom of God. Whoever you are, don't stay in that seat. You get up there. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. You come up here right now and stand right in front of me. Come on, everybody in this auditorium, you stand right here. Come on, you stand right here. Come on. Come on, that's not all. Come on, stand right here. Stand right here. Come on.